Good morning, everyone. I deeply appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and to me. And one scripture text for our consideration is Isaiah 55. And this is not the sermon text, but I'll be referring to it in the message. Let's all give attention to this chapter, which invites us to come to Christ to satisfy the deepest needs of our soul. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of our God. May he add his blessing to its reading.
Well, this is quite an honor welcoming Al Tricarico back, former missionary at Karamoja, and now Secretary of Home Missions and Church Extension. And I'm looking forward to what you have to say.
The sermon text is Luke 14, 12 through 24. But I want to tell you even right at the beginning that there'll be some reference to the earlier parts of the chapter, so you can keep your thumb there even when we get to verse 12. But let me read this to you. This will be for our consideration in the sermon. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord will stand forever and ever. Our Father, we ask that you would come and give us understanding of your word. We want to believe what you have said, and we want to live happily under your rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the glory of your name. Amen. Everybody loves a feast. I loved one last night at your pastor's home. It was great. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised by the fact that the gospel is pictured in Scripture with so many food images? You heard one already. I want to read it to you again. Isaiah 55:1-2. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me. And eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Maybe you remember these words, John 6:27, the words of our Lord. Jesus answered them in this way, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves, referring to his miracle of feeding the 5,000. Then verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? I am the bread of life. Come to me, all you who thirst. Whenever we take the communion meal, we feast upon Christ, don't we? By faith. That's the language we use. It's good language. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food, and occasions for eating and drinking. They provide so much good metaphor for us to learn about God's kind and abundant provisions in the gospel. Those provisions are rich, and they are abundant. They satisfy the longings of the soul. And like a good meal, they give joy to those who come and eat and drink. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So, lessons about parties told at a party. The lessons he gave were full of reproof and were no doubt shocking to those who heard them. To the host, to one particular guest, and then to all of the guests who were there. So let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable, the one that you've just heard. And I want you to look at this text with me and see three things. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, that's the body of the message, mostly we'll talk about that, and then a shocking exclusion. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, and a shocking exclusion. So first, the awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of a very important man, a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests were there too, other Pharisees. There were some lawyers there, perhaps others. And they were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to see him or visit with him or hear what he had to say, but they wanted to check him out. They were watching him carefully. That's what verse 1 says. And I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they did so wanting to catch him doing something that they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call that condition edema now. He was there near Jesus, and I doubt that he was an honored guest, because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not the wealthy friends and relatives he might otherwise invite. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. The guests saw him, and they wondered as they watched, what was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on a Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate that commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. So Jesus healed him and dismissed him, and the host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. That's verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can read about that, verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It is better to take a low place and then be invited to move up rather than take the honored place and be told to move down. Maybe you know that parable. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more. Let me read again from verse 12, the first few verses. He said to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, the ruler of the Pharisees, he said to this man, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited. People who were there, listening to his words. He didn't set this guy aside and say, "Let me tell you something I don't want them to hear." He said it. They heard it. Don't be concerned with returns in this life. That was the lesson. Inviting people close to you or people of means, these people will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Don't live in light of the moment. Live in light of eternity. Give without immediate payback. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. There will be rewards. The rewards will come when the just are raised. But do what is right now and be patient for what is yet to be. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is the awkward moment. Imagine yourself being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. Whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. Here are the words. "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." That's what he said. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of what Jesus said next. Verse 16. "But he," that's Jesus, "said to him," the parable of the great banquet, as we call it, was delivered to him. Bread will be served in the kingdom, but there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up the generous invitation. And it is generous. Very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready, everything in place, the second notice went out. Now's the time. The food's prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they were not good reasons. "I bought a field, and I've got to check it out. I bought some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now. I can't come." All fine things to do. But they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. Weak excuses, each one. Offensively weak. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests that heard Jesus say these things felt the insult. The servant reported back, and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them, for nothing. wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. You know that I lived for a time in a region of Uganda called Karamoja. And the Karamojong people are lovely, hospitable, generous, and they loved to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable expense. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him in advance I was coming. I did not tell him that I was staying. But he assumed I would be there for a while, and so he and his family prepared accordingly. There I was, with a few of my kids, at this enormous spread of amazing food, prepared just for my family. But I was in a hurry, as we all find ourselves at times in a hurry. And so I didn't stay. I had to leave. This is, by the way, a concept unknown to the Karamojong people. No one is in a hurry. And no one ever feels pressured to leave anywhere. It's just not how they think. So I thanked him, I apologized, and I took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive it was, and I made another apology to this family, who in time became very close, treasured friends. We enjoyed each other many times around meals after that, and so things worked out. The relationship was repaired. But this is how I learned, in that part of the world, how to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it is inconvenient to accept it, especially when food is already prepared for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought in the poor and crippled and blind and lame just to feed them. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Anyone come. Everybody's invited. I will be a host to a lavish feast. I want my house to be filled with people today. I'm sure you know that this parable is not about food, as much as we all love to eat. It's about God. It's about God inviting people into His home. The invitation is sincere, and it is universal. Preparations have been made, and all are now welcome to enter into the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I know you agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. I know you do. You love it. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of the living and true God. I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, who gave His life for me, who is present with me, who makes promises to me. A Savior who helps me, provides for me, protects me, guides me, and will one day bring me home to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and all of His people. I am happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Here's another question. Do you want others to join the family? Here's another. Do you want God to have a bigger family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? And it is a feast. It is. It's a party. It's a gospel party. We're all feasting at Christ's table. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts in praise and prayer and attention to God's Word, His promises, His commands that are contained in His Word. It's a feast. Life with Jesus is a feast hosted by our Savior Himself. Not that life is easy or comfortable. No. Life is filled with trials. You all know it. We all feel it. Jesus promised that there would be trials. And it's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. And there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles never go away in this life. And we need to learn to speak honestly about this to ourselves and to God in our prayers, all the while longing for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, when we will see Jesus, and we will be like Jesus. That's an amazing thought, 1 John 3:2. And we will spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior along with all the saints, without any hindrance coming from sin or suffering. That is a precious thought. But life in this age is hard. And that's why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have Him. We have Him. Jesus came and died and rose from the dead. He went up into heaven and sent His Spirit to dwell in His people. And right now, while we're hearing from His voice, He is representing us in heaven and interceding for us there. What a glorious thought that is. He is our brother and is not ashamed to say it. Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is there for you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers. And He always welcomes you. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love the way one preacher put it. He said, Jesus is a friend who always lets you in, but never lets you down. I don't know who's here. Some of you are members of Covenant. Maybe you all are, but maybe there's someone here that does not have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard about Him, but you do not know Him. You are invited to come, to confess your sins to Him, to trust that His death paid for your sins, and to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and new life in Jesus Christ. You are invited to the feast. Welcome to the feast. This is all really delicious spiritual food, isn't it? All the blessings that belong to us. And they belong to us because we belong to Jesus Christ. We need food. Jesus feeds us. He feeds us generously. He feeds us abundantly. And we rejoice in Him and all that He gives to us. Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on the parable. He wrote, "There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or our weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ." This is how we should understand the mission of the church. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of His Father. We serve so that others would receive this welcome. Here's how one writer put it. "The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. I think that's right. And it's why we send missionaries overseas. It is why we plant churches in our own country. When you receive reports from missionaries and church planters and you pray for them, and I know you do, and I know you pray, ask God to help them and those who serve with them to deliver His welcome to people in their communities. They do participate in the hospitality of God. Come all. Come and eat and drink without money. And enter into the worship of the true and living God. And so we pray for Christ's servants. We pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more laborers. And we compel the world to come to the feast. We compel them. That's how Jesus put it, verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Not force them or drag them, but urge them, persuade them, invite them, welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls ready to eat and be satisfied. The food is ready. There is room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while we are all invited, not all will accept the invitation. So let's move on to the tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion that those who dismiss the invitation of Christ will face. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Something of a platitude, I think. You see it. You know, what a day that will be. We'll be there and we'll be blessed. That's what he was thinking. And so that's what he said. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's welcome. So the invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The welcome of God is serious stuff. There is a lot at stake. And here is the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. None of them. Jesus is warning his own people in this parable. The Jews were invited to come to the feast. They were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to save him. They were invited. Preparations were made. But in the main, they did not come. That's why we have in John 1, verse 11 and 12 as well. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. But there is a broader view in the parable as well. We are living right now in the age of welcome. And we need to be glad for that. Christ's work is finished and the welcome continues. And that welcome is to everyone. The warnings extend to everyone as well. There are many in our day who think they are well when they are not. Or think that things are really lousy but have no idea how to cope with the problems of this world and the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they are laying aside the invitation to a feast. It is your privilege to deliver an invitation to them to come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8. And in the words of Isaiah 55, listen diligently to Jesus and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. Help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known to the world the delights that come with faith in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.